Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, 'tis the season for the flu. It almost sounds like that's a Christmas song.
Yeah. Does that sound like a happy one? I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah. And I know we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about influenza. But let's first an update on COVID-19. Any good news regarding the COVID-19?
Yes. Actually, there is some good news. There is a researcher at Pitt University that they've come up with a new antibody drug, AB8, that has really good success with treating the COVID-19 and also preventing it. So results at this point seem excellent on all the studies that they've done. There are starting on human trials, and it could be something that could be a real game changer.
So that's great news. So how would it impact COVID-19?
Well, one of the things is that this antibody, AB8 is what they call it, I think Eli Lilly also just announced that they've got something that they're coming out with. So this is a drug that the antibody actually interferes with the attachment of the virus to the cell. It, one, is a treatment if you have COVID-19 and actually has been very effective in reducing the symptoms and getting it under control. But also, you can take it as a preventative, where you could take it and not get the COVID-19, and it would help really especially a lot of the people who are at high risk. This would be a real game changer. So we're looking at possibly this type of a technology could actually get the whole COVID-19 situation under control, and we could get back to normal life again.
So we could get back to normal life.
We could.
So it's called AB8. The number eight. AB8. All right.
One of the other things that's come out is that there is a inhaled form of interferon beta used for MS, and it has been something that also has some really good outcomes. People have been found to have about 80% developing severe symptoms. So when they do find somebody who has it starting to get into trouble, they have been doing this inhaled form of interferon and having a very definite reduction in the severity of the whole COVID-19.
So is the AB8 a new drug?
It is. It's a brand new technology, because what they were doing is they were looking, and the key seems to be the attachment. What makes the SARS coronavirus 2 such a problem is how well it attaches to the cell wall. Then it actually rips open an opening and then goes in there and replicates. So if you can interfere with the attachment of the virus to the cell, you pretty well got it under control. And that's exactly what this antibody does. It's a very, very small molecule, smaller than most antibodies. And it goes in there and will interfere with the virus being able to attach the cell, which keeps you from experiencing most of the problems that actually occur with the disease of the COVID-19.
Are we going to hear more about this?
Unless something shows up, problems with trials, but it appears to be extremely safe, really with no adverse reactions at this point, and extremely, extremely successful in actually treating this disease.
That's great news. Now, will this change the need for a vaccine?
Well, you know, that's one of the things. I'm sure they'll be coming up with the vaccine. But again, you might actually be able to use this particular drug as a preventative in place of the vaccination. One of the things that people have been worried about is, you know, some of the side effects. You know, has this really been had strong trials
with the vaccine?
With a vaccination and with this antibody, it could be a lot safer and might be even more effective than a vaccination, and could actually replace that. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't come out with both of those, but that would actually give you a choice and also your doctor a choice on which direction to go.
So when might this AB8 medication be available?
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, it depends on how things are going. but it could actually occur before the end of this year if everything's going right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the when you're talking about vaccinations, again, it's a much more risky type of thing than appears to be then with this antibody drug.
This is great news. This just came out this week.
Yes, actually, it was announced Monday of this particular week.
Mm-hmm.
And then also then Eli Lilly came out that they have an antibody drug too. So this is something that could be a very big game changer and something that could really work quite well.
So is there any bad news right now about COVID-19?
Oh, that's always a good thing to bring up. So yes, one of the things that people are finding is that there are lingering symptoms that people are having with the COVID-19. About 30% of the people aren't getting completely well from the COVID-19.
How many? What is that?
About 30%.
Okay.
So, which is a very large number. And so some of these people are having ongoing types of symptoms. We've had several people who came into our office who were experiencing that. We did some testing on them, got them on some natural products, and got them over it. But it is something that if you have had COVID-19 and have some lingering types of problems, one of the things I would definitely do is not just take it lightly, but go in there and actually get things checked. One of the things that they're finding is that there is some damage to the heart that actually can occur. There can be problems with the circulation. So having a thorough checkup from A to Z, getting checked afterwards, is something that is highly recommended at this point to make sure that you don't have any lingering problems.
Okay, so they're seeing 30% of the cases that people, is this mild? It varies.
At this point, it's basically what the researchers are saying is definitely there's a problem that's been occurring. Some of the people are still having problems breathing, but don't seem to have any problem with their lung function. So it's still kind of a mystery on what's going on. Definitely it is something that is of concern and something that if you have had COVID-19, be aware that if you are having lingering symptoms, it's not necessarily in your head, but something that should be addressed and looked at thoroughly to find out what might be an underlying issue. Even some of the younger people are showing up some heart damage afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So especially getting your heart checked and making sure that there's nothing wrong with that is a very good idea.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. When we come back, we're going to see how the flu season is shaping up for 2020. I don't even like to say that year, do you? And 2021.
Excellent.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology. Well, let's talk about fascia restrictions. Fascia is kind of like a shrink wrap that surrounds every muscle in our body, and it can become dried out and lose elasticity, leading to more tension and stiffness.
One of the interesting things that they've been doing research, and this has just come out within the last 2 years, is that the fascia is one single organ. It's as much of an organ as your liver, heart, or kidneys. So all the fascia in your body is completely connected with each other and
wow.
intercommunicates with each other. It's the main thing that determines your posture. Matter of fact, it has a very big effect on the nervous system. So as you can get the fascia back into alignment, it can actually change how the nervous system works. And much of the muscle is controlled by the fascia material. And if you look at the low back, it just covers the entire low back.
Really?
So oftentimes your low back problems is connected to the fascia material. Fascia is really where rapid release comes through. One of my good friends, Warren Hammer, that's his main thing, is fascial. Actually, I introduced him to the rapid release. He came to my office. I was working on him, doing some adjustments, and then I took the rapid release and went over it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "What is that?" As soon as he saw the rapid release, it's just revolutionized
it.
His treatment.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing he teaches now, is how to release fascia with rapid release.
A lot of people are tight in their glutes. the piriformis syndrome. We'll get them in a prolonged stretch and run the rapid release over that just for a few minutes. Big changes.
Oh, yeah. It, again, revolutionizes fascial release.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid-release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid-release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners. The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
We had a Amish family that we know that had a person who was put down as one of the statistics for COVID-19. And they were actually very upset because they knew that he was dying from kidney failure. There's a nurse that comes into our office who actually quit because she was being told to put down COVID-19 as a cause of death. And she said no, that wasn't something that she was willing to do. There were volunteers who are in medical school and DO school. And I happened to know one of them. As they were tracking on where people got their exposure for the COVID-19 when they tested positive, they were told not to put down that they had attended a protest. And they quit because mm-hmm. it wasn't an honest count. And I don't want to shortchange people who are statistically proven they actually had the COVID-19 and die from, because we need that information. But we don't want false information. That doesn't build up trust. It creates conspiracy theories, which mm-hmm. we don't need.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Well, we're entering into fall here soon, so 'tis the season for the flu. Just another thing for 2020.
Sure. Yeah, we can't forget about the flu going on.
No, we can't. So how is the flu season shaping up for 2021?
They usually look to see how it was in the southern hemisphere, and it was actually pretty mild.
Well, that's good.
Which is good news. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're optimistic that this will be a mild season. One of the theories on why it was so mild is the social distancing. So with social distancing, not only does it cut down on the spread of the COVID-19, but it also cuts down on the spread of the flu. So if we continue with our social distancing, we're hoping for the same effect up here in the northern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
When does the flu season start, and you know, where does it run through?
It officially starts in October, mm-hmm. which we're getting real close to, and it usually goes through February. Can go into March, but those are the normal times of year that they actually expect it. So we are already watching the cases of the flu. Only really one state is having any type of a high numbers, and that's Iowa.
Iowa?
Yes.
Why is that?
That's a real good question. We actually don't know. At this point, they kind of measure how many people have the flu, how common it is. And in most of the United States, it's way below normal levels. Mm-hmm. Only in Iowa is it higher.
You know, I haven't heard about Iowa through this COVID-19 at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, now that we're hearing about Iowa, but why Iowa, I haven't the foggiest idea.
Interesting. So when should a person get the flu shot?
Well, one of the things you have to be careful of is that you don't get it too early, mm-hmm. because then it won't last through the entire flu season. So it's recommended really at the beginning of October to get the flu shot, is basically what they're saying. If you get it earlier, especially if you get it, you know, in August, then you would probably not travel long enough, you know, long mm-hmm. enough. If you were particularly susceptible, you could get it in September. Really, October is the main time that they say. That's when it kind of kicks up. But if you're in Iowa, you might want to get flu shot. Indiana seems pretty clear right now, so you're pretty safe unless you're planning on traveling through Iowa anytime recently. So We have a real interest in Iowa right now.
So who should get a flu shot, Dr. Prather?
Well, of course they recommend that everybody get the flu shot, but definitely the normal type of people along those lines. If you're older, those are the people who are most at risk. Nursing homes, especially. You know, when we were talking about the whole COVID-19 and the places that spreads, that would be the same for the flu. Mm-hmm. So nursing homes are a real problem. Hospitals also. If you work in a hospital, then that's an area that really is a big transmission area. You know, if you use a lot of public transport, mm-hmm. transportation, that was a big area where the SARS coronavirus 2 was spread, and also is a big area where the influenza. Also, if you are immune compromised, if you have some problems along those lines, if you have any type of lung or heart problems, those would be people who would be more at risk. If you have diabetes at all, mm-hmm. you're at higher risk. Also, if you're obese. And if you're obese and diabetic, then that's even more of a problem.
Okay.
I know that my daughter actually worked in a COVID-19 floor for a while, and she says most of the people that were there were obese and diabetic. Mm-hmm. So that's an area of concern and something that you need to be aware of. Also, young children, women who are pregnant or going to be pregnant during this time, those are also people who are at higher risk and should also be looking to get the flu shot.
Okay. Now, who should not get the flu shot?
Well, not only is it who should not get the flu shot, but also people like a pregnant woman. There are certain flu shots that you should get and certain flu shots that you shouldn't get. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you shouldn't just stop in a Walgreens and get a flu shot in those types of instances. Also, if you're pregnant, mm-hmm. if you're immune compromised. In other words, if you have some underlying health conditions, there are some flu shots that are better than others. Also, if you are older, there are certain flu shots that have been shown to be much more effective than others. So one of the things I would really recommend before you get your flu shot is not just kind of walk in someplace. I see signs at CVS and things, come in and get a free flu shot, or kind of walk in and get it done. Mm-hmm. That's fine for the average person. But if you have something that's going on with your health, there's a lot of different types of flu shots. And some of them are better for some people and some of them are better for others. So consult your physician and find out what type of flu shot is best for you if you are going to go ahead and get it. Now, the other thing that you should do if you have allergies, you should always check to see, because different flu shots have different kinds of ingredients in it. Some of them have eggs, some of them have other different types of things. So you should be aware of, you know, if you have peanut allergies, if you have any types of different types of allergies that might be severe, you should have that checked out, because they have different types of flu shots for different types of people along those lines.
Now, can they give you a list of what's in?
They do have a list of all the ingredients, and that should be checked and reviewed with your doctor before you actually get the flu shot itself. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with asthma, if you have any underlying type of allergies that can be a problem along those lines, have that checked out. So take that seriously. Now, so you want to avoid it if you have allergies. Also, if you have had any type of neurological or reactions before with the flu shot, mm-hmm. or any types of vaccinations, you should be cautious about that. Guillain-Barré is something that we have treated quite a few people with in our office, and which came directly from a flu shot. So if you are showing any type of sensitivity or had sensitivity in the past, that is something that you should discuss with your doctor and make sure that the flu shot is the very best thing for you. Or it may not be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good update, because I know they're already, you know, talking
promoting
about that.
Promoting it. Trying mm-hmm. to, yes. So it's more complicated than just getting a flu shot.
Right. Yeah. I didn't realize there were so many different ones.
Different options, yes.
Okay. And is that what, say you go to a CVS, there would be different flu shots there?
Absolutely. They have a lot of different ones that are available.
Okay.
And they may just be kind of handing out the generic ones unless you mention that you have an actual problem.
Okay.
So if you are basically a healthy individual with really no underlying conditions, you can probably just stop in and get a flu shot. Mm-hmm. If you have any type of condition at all, any type of a health issue, if you are older, Or if you're very young, there are ones that are specifically meant for you. You should go through your physician to make sure that you get the proper one.
Okay. So is it possible we could have a flu pandemic this year? I don't even want to ask that.
Could we have a pandemic on top of a pandemic is a big question, right? Well, guess what?
What?
There is a research going on with a variant of the swine flu, the H1N1, called G4 swine flu, in China as we speak.
Mm. Okay.
Which has the possibility of being a very severe pandemic.
Mm.
So they are keeping watch on that, and the World Health Organization is working with China, hopefully.
Weren't they keeping a watch on?
That doesn't make you feel real good, does
no.
it? But they are updating on where they are. They have been very aware of it. I think China is much more open and does not want the same thing happen what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
But there is called the G4 swine flu that has pandemic possibilities and could be something that could be released during this flu season and spread quickly through the world. It's a recombinant type of a virus, so it's actually taken a lot of different parts, one from avian flu, the swine flu, and human flu, and has all those components in it. And people do not have any, would not have any immunity to it, and we do not have a vaccination for it. So it does have the, a possibility of being a very severe pandemic, and something that really needs to be kept a watch out for.
Why do these things start in China?
That's a real good question. And one of the things that I have been reading several different types of scientific articles is that there are several scientists who've said, we have the possibility of having, because it used to be, you know, you would, in a, about 100 years, you'd maybe get, about every 30 years, you'd get a pandemic,
mm-hmm.
was usual. And they say that is probably going to go out the window pretty soon.
Hmm.
One of the things that's occurred is the high spread of antibiotics and other different types of pharmaceuticals. And those have lowered the ability of the body to actually protect itself. And then there's a lot more contact with animals and with humans and an easy spread. And we could be seeing an increase in pandemics on a regular, you know, where it could be a regular type of a problem that could be starting to spread. So,
okay.
Sorry about the.
Yeah.
we were all upbeat there until you know I kind of have to, but you know it's good to be aware.
Good to be aware, and it's important there to stay healthy, and we're going to talk about that when we come back.
All right.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
And my wife's dieting now. That means we're all dieting. That's the rule. I got to sneak cookies in my house like I'm some kind of criminal. Go down in the basement with the boys, and I'm handing them out to the kids. One of you will betray me. I'm not sure, but it will be the three-year-old Judas, I'm sure. She came home with rice cakes for dessert. You believe that? Rice cake? Who's she kidding? It's not food, it's insulation. Well, we could save a few bucks, just eat the styrofoam peanuts that came with your thigh master.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Center of Disease Control actually did several studies on what to do if a pandemic hits the United States. Whether a lockdown at a certain point within a pandemic was actually effective, and their findings was that it was not. Once it had already gotten to the shores and it had reached a certain number of people, a lockdown was considered completely ineffective. The Center of Disease Control has gone against their own recommendations and their own research and ordered lockdown. There was a time where a lockdown would have been extremely effective. If they had locked down Wuhan when it first happened, that would have been ideal. At this point, a lockdown is not going to do anything. It's already here. We hear from all these people that we need to just listen to our medical experts. You know what? We need to actually think for ourselves and question people.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row.
And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google Plus.
Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048.
Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, 'tis the season for the flu, and we're talking about the upcoming flu season. I know you've been getting a lot of questions from the patients right now.
I am.
Let's talk about what is meant by, you're talking about epidemic, pandemic, and what's the other one?
Endemic. Okay.
Never heard of endemic.
Because people are sitting there going, what? Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't know. Well, first off, let's talk about endemic. That's what usually occurs. So the seasonal flu is endemic. In other words, what you basically expect to occur on a yearly basis.
Okay.
So that's the normal type of thing. Now, you can get a hyperendemic where more people than usual are actually getting it, mm-hmm. but it doesn't actually become an epidemic. Epidemic is when you start to have a higher percentage of people who are actually getting it, and then also a higher percentage of people who are starting to actually die from it. The pandemic is where it's not just localized to a certain area, but actually becomes global.
Okay.
So pandemic is, it's sort of a subjective type of thing, mm-hmm. but they declared like COVID-19, it was just in China, and at that point it was an epidemic. When it then spread to other continents, and when it hit Europe, it became a pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Even before that, in other words, it was starting to spread to other continents mm-hmm. and other countries. And then it becomes a pandemic as opposed to just an epidemic.
So are there different levels of pandemics?
There are. There is actually 5 levels of pandemic, depending on how many people are actually dying. So you have a level 1 pandemic, you have a level 2, level 3, level 4, and a level 5. Now, the 1918 flu was a level 5 pandemic. We also have had several other pandemics that actually hit. So we had the 1918 pandemic, we had a 1957, 1958 influenza pandemic, then we had a 1968 influenza pandemic, and then we also had a 2009 pandemic. Didn't even know that we had had all these.
Didn't even know.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, that's a really good question. It wasn't as made as quite of a big deal as what the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more media hype going on.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, this is something, pandemics is like, this isn't the first pandemic that's mm-hmm. been around.
Interesting. So were those, like, and in 2009, what level was that pandemic?
Oh, the 2009 pandemic was a level one, but the 1968, the 1957 were both level two pandemics.
Hmm. And that's what the COVID-19 is.
That is what the COVID-19 is a level two pandemic.
But most people didn't even know that.
No, most people really don't realize what level of pandemic it is.
Right.
The 2009, there was a big hype about it and kind of it fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
2009, when they called it the swine flu and made the vaccination for it, the vaccination was actually more dangerous than the actual swine flu.
Mm.
Even though it was a level one, in other words, everybody stopped taking it mm-hmm. and they actually recalled it.
The vaccine.
Vaccine.
Okay.
Because it was rushed and was put out there too early, and there was a lot of injuries that actually occurred with it.
So could pandemics become more common?
That is one of the things that that we're seeing. We had talked about, you know, the health of the the communication with the world. It can spread much more quickly. It kind of used to fester in an area and you could kind of control it with the new communications that are going on. And then also most of the world, you can actually just buy an antibiotic over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be prescribed. So if you have the flu and you take an antibiotic, then that actually raises the flu level.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually get worse. So one of the things that has actually occurred, and then also with the animals, they are also giving large amounts of antibiotics and compromised immune systems. So we have a human population and an animal population that has compromised immune systems. And with greater toxicity and weaker immune systems, you know, infections can really start to become a lot more common type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And pandemics is one of the things that many scientists believe can start to become a much more common type of thing. And we could be starting to get them much more quickly, instead of every 30 years, maybe every 10 or even less.
Interesting. So it sounds like something we've really done to ourselves.
We've actually created a problem along those lines. Now, we've solved many types of problems, like smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be a purge across the world. There were millions of people who died, and smallpox was actually something that in some areas of the world eliminated 70% of the population.
Mm.
So it was a huge problem, and we've, through vaccinations, that particular disease has been eliminated worldwide.
Right.
So there's been quite a few things, but right now, tuberculosis across the world, it's not as big of a problem in the United States, but tuberculosis is killing a lot more people than COVID-19.
In other areas.
In other areas.
The world.
Mm-hmm. Malaria is a huge problem. So there's an awful lot of diseases that are going on. I mean, our focus right here is on COVID-19, but in other areas of the world, there are actually more dangerous infections out there than the COVID-19.
Yeah, we have a friend from Mali.
Yes.
And what does he say?
Well, he actually said, we got real diseases over there.
Yeah.
He's not concerned about the COVID-19, and nobody's even talking about it over there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got malaria. They've got a lot of different types of things that they're looking at. Ebola is still something that's around in that area and something they're much more concerned about than the COVID-19.
Mm. So what can be done to protect ourselves from future pandemics?
Well, one of the things is that we really need to be thinking differently than what we have before.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start to really try to get the immune system of the people up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get the immune system of our animals in a much better position.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're doing is actually weakening the general immune system of both humans and animals, which makes it much more ripe to wind up with with these pandemics. So what we could actually take from this could be a real lesson to us on how we can really work to get people healthier. Because when we've got new things coming in, it takes time to research to figure out what types of pharmaceuticals are going to work. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the Center of Disease Control and the World Health Organization has actually said is we now live in a post-antibiotic age. Mm-hmm. And we cannot any longer depend on the pharmaceutical industry to protect us from the diseases that are actually starting, the infections that are starting to hit us, because we've overused them and not been good stewards. So we need to have a different type of approach. I like to read veterinary scientific articles where they talk about some of the different approaches that they're using. And they are going definitely to natural plants, natural ways of that have been around to start to get the animals healthier. They're finding better long-term results with the animals. And then that should also start to play into the human population and how we can actually think about how we can improve the health of the individuals. Because then when a new infection comes around, we ourselves are strong enough then to, our immune systems are strong enough to actually resist new infections and actually keep us where we need to be.
And this could help change
this
healthcare,
could really help to change
which
healthcare
needs to happen.
As long as the scientific community and the governments allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about structure function care and how it can protect us from infections.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, you use homeopathy in the Prather Practice. How important is it in the treatment of your patients?
It's sort of our secret weapon. There are quite a few different types of medicines that people are very familiar with that are completely homeopathic based. One of the examples is nitroglycerin. Nitroglycerin tablets are far better than anything you could do pharmaceutically. The reason is that homeopathics work immediately. Pharmaceuticals take a while. In that type of an instance, you need something that works very, very quickly. So homeopathic has continued with that particular medicine. There's some others that are still homeopathically based. It's an acknowledgement that homeopathy works. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not really an argument on that. I mean, it's even used now and prescribed by physicians, though oftentimes the physicians don't even know that what they're prescribing is a homeopathic-based medicine. Homeopathy is the fastest growing part of complementary alternative medicine right now. Now, one of the things, of course, that I always want to point out, it's not an either or. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to choose between them. Pharmaceuticals and homeopathy. An example that we had was a patient was put on some heart medication because of heart problems they had. Terrible, terrible side effects that the individual had with that. Even I told him, I says, you know, if you don't take this pharmaceutical, you'll die. Mm-hmm. Said, well, I'd rather die. So what we did
because
was...
Because of the side effects.
Because of the side effects. So what we did was we made up a homeopathic for that particular medicine, mm-hmm. which you can make a homeopathic for everything, and eliminated all of his side effects.
Wow.
So then he was able to take the pharmaceutical without any problems associated with that. And we do that many times with patients where we can take them through, and if they are needing to take pharmaceuticals, and it doesn't matter what pharmaceutical you take, has excellent results. One of the things that they're doing clinical research right now is for chemotherapy patients. You know, horrible, horrible side effects. Mm-hmm. The National Institute of Health was doing a study where they were giving homeopathics along with the chemo and not having any side effects. And I've seen that many times with our patients, where I can give a homeopathic for the chemo, which not only doesn't interfere with it, but enhances the effects of the chemo, but eliminates the side effects. And if we can make that open, open to physicians to start to use homeopathics on a much more regular basis, I think that we will see an improvement in the overall health and well-being and how we can deal with patients.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Pandemics actually have different levels. The worst ones are pandemic 5. COVID-19 is a pandemic level 2. We had a recent one in 2009 where we had a pandemic going on, and it was a level 1. The way that the media is talking about it and the way that the population is saying, I mean, from the beginning to even now, I have patients coming in with just this panic. We're treating people with PTSD who really have not suffered at all from the COVID-19 or have had it and had mild cases. There was just this panic that has occurred. People are very, very fearful. It is a level 2, so we should have an appropriate response. Is the overstatement of this something that's causing more problems than it is actually helping? Has this been, just by its very nature, a level 2 pandemic been overstated? Absolutely.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. It's a beautiful. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, let's talk about how structure function care can protect us from infections.
Well, we've depending quite a bit upon disease care, where we have a pharmaceutical or some type of a treatment that will help to get an infection under control. And we've kind of become complacent because that wasn't something that we used to have. And one of the things that has occurred, the Center of Disease Control has said we are now in a post-antibiotic age. So the pharmaceutical industry, which we were really dependent upon, is starting to fail. And one of the things that has shown up with the COVID-19 is that as things come in, one of the things that we really need to be aware of, and those people who were able to go through the infection without really any problems were those people who had a strong immune system. So really building up our own resistance is one of the best things that we possibly can do for not only the infections that we have now, but any type of new infections that might be hitting us. So really looking through and saying, how is my immune system? How is my resistance? How is my general health? And we need to take a personal responsibility to achieve that.
Right.
Now, through pharmaceuticals, that's not really possible. What we need to do is then look at the structure function care, which takes the body and brings it into balance, which is called homeostasis. And homeostasis is the definition of health. So when you're talking about structure function care, that is the care that will bring you into health. Disease care is to help you to handle the symptoms that might overwhelm the system. So a good balance of what health care should be 80% structure function, 20% disease care.
And we at the Prather Practice practice structure function care.
Are a structure function office where we are not treating diseases. What we are doing is bringing the body back into homeostasis.
Okay, very important. So what have we learned from COVID-19?
Well, things that we've learned from COVID-19, one of the examples is that for viral infections, it's very well known that zinc is extremely important. So one of the symptoms that showed up on how severe people's disease is going to be is, you know, the loss of taste and smell. So as they have that loss of taste and smell, that's a sign that they have severe zinc deficiency. Just that nutrient can make a huge difference. And one of the things in most of the countries is almost every different type of treatment, they're adding zinc into it. And, you know, that is not something that is being recommended here in the United States. It's not being checked. It's actually being suppressed that that's actually something that's important. And, you know, so that's just an example of what we could learn from all this, the importance of vitamin D, importance of vitamin A in all these types of situations. And there has been a concerted effort by Big Pharma to only promote pharmaceutical types of answers to every single health question. And that's ridiculous. You can't expect a football to be really good out in the basketball court mm-hmm. and start to use a football instead of a basketball. Football is great out in the football field. It's terrible on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. And it's just not going to work. So it's the same thing with pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are great out on the football field, but terrible on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what tests should be done to help keep our immune system healthy?
There's three major tests that we really look at, the Prather practice. I mean, we do huge amounts all over the place. We're constantly, you know, figuring out what people need. But the big ones are the blood test that we do, the hair analysis, and the GI stool kit. Those are the three big tests, because what you're doing is you're checking on how the physiology of the body's working. With the blood test, you're looking then at the hair analysis, at the tissue minerals or heavy metals that are going on, so you can find out what's going on in the tissues. And then you're finding out what's going on in through the gut. So the blood work will tell us how the immune system's working, how the kidneys, liver. You can actually check even on how the heart's working and all those types of things. Then you can go to the hair analysis. That's where you would pick up the zinc deficiency, any type of heavy metal toxicity that might be causing some immune suppression, the balances of calcium, magnesium. It really tells you a tremendous amount. And then the National Institute of Health has stated that a major immune system function is developed in the gut. 80% of the immune system is around the gut, and as the gut's under stress, it will cause that immune system to either do well or to collapse. One of the major things that we look for autoimmune diseases is inside the gut. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those types of things are something that's real important. And we also need to look at these things, you know, like the blood test. I have a lot of people coming into my office who said, oh, my doctor checked my blood work and he says it's fine. Well, they're trained, if they are a disease care doctor, to interpret it in a disease care model. And then I look at it and go through all the things that are abnormal on there. And I show the patient on there and they say, wow, you know, that is actually abnormal. Why did my doctor say that it was okay? Well, it was okay because you didn't need a pharmaceutical. You didn't classify into disease. Mm-hmm. So you didn't need something that was pharmaceutically treated, so you were okay, because they didn't know how to work with structure function to bring those things back into balance. An example, I had a 16-year-old girl who came in, and she had been to 8 different doctors before, had been really suffering for about 5 years on her health, and without really any answers. Luckily, her mom was, believed her and kept moving forward, because their main answer was like antidepressants. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, on here, it shows up that you have a very weakened immune system. Matter of fact, you actually classified, according to the standards of reading blood care, that you're into chronic fatigue, which is actually much more serious than what it sounds. It's a failure of the immune system. And it was something that, as I went through all the symptoms that is listed in the Center of Disease Control, they said, that's me. Mm-hmm. You know, I have all those types of things that are going on. Mm-hmm. And the Center of Disease Control said, hey, and put that out to doctors, hey, this is being an undertreated type of a situation. We have a lot of people getting on disability because of this, and it's growing exponentially very quickly. We need to start to address that, but it still hasn't been addressed. I mean, it wasn't addressed for this child. So we were able to identify it and get her on a program, and she's just been with us for about a month, and already she feels so much better. Mm. And we approach that through, as we're taking things physiologically, we've got her on some herbals, we've got her on some nutraceuticals, we have her on homeopathics, specifically to raise the immune system, which we're already starting to see happen. Then we're also working that through the structural portion to give her quite a bit of relief. So we're doing chiropractic adjustments, we're doing acupuncture, we have her on rehab, we have her in massage. And she's already saying how much better she is. Mm. And she can really start to see a difference. Her mom can see a difference. Through doing her history, one of the things that I think that actually weakened her immune system was her responses to vaccinations, which her mom stopped after mm-hmm. a period of time. But if that's not responding well on someone, that can actually cause a weakening of the immune system.
Mm, interesting. So what lifestyle changes do we need to make?
This whole thing? Well, one, we need to, one of the things is that patients need to seek out not only have their disease care doctor, but also have a structure function doctor.
Yes.
We need to start evaluating them in trying to get their health and well-being back up into a what would be a homeostasis balance in their system. Mm-hmm. So we need to change our mindset and how we're actually approaching healthcare. We have a healthcare system that provides the best disease care in the entire world, and we spend more money than any other country in the world on that. We also have the worst results of any country, any industrialized country in the world.
On healthcare.
On healthcare, because there is such an emphasis on disease care and not enough of an emphasis on structure function care. If you go to France, 40% of all the prescriptions that a French doctor would actually write are homeopathic.
Mm-hmm.
40%. And really, that's the only way that children should be treated is homeopathically, because the pharmaceuticals haven't been tested on them. So it's not really a great idea to use something that hasn't been tested and know the outcomes, because they have a completely different physiology. We are the fattest country in the world. We need to get our obesity rate down. That was actually our healthcare, our food system was actually designed to put weight on us. It was designed in World War II because all the American men were too skinny to carry the backpacks. Mm-hmm. So we redesigned our food system, and don't have a food delivery system that is actually designed for health, but actually to put weight on, which we are doing.
Yeah. So what do you see as the healthcare, of the future? We have 30 seconds.
Well, the healthcare of the future really needs to be a better balance. We need to quit trying to fix the disease care, because it is working just fine. It's that we have only emphasized the disease care, haven't gotten into the structure function care. Mm. So that's where I see the future, and then integrating the two so that they're working in collaboration.
Yeah, makes sense.
It does.
Makes total sense. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired?
At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.